Well, as we're sharing, the season that we're in is all about who? It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, this season that we're in. He is the reason for this season that we celebrate. And so there's many things, you know, that we do that different cultures do, different areas do that we enjoy. We enjoy putting up decorations. We enjoy family. We enjoy food. Thank you, Jesus. You know, well, I'd say it this way, good food, you know. I forget what minister I met. I don't know if it was Tony Cook or somebody said, you know, he said, church members usually will always bring food for someone, you know. And he said, you know, they'd always say, did you like it? How'd you like the food? And he said, I named my garbage pail Spot. And he said, how was it? He said, it hit the spot. So if you bring me food, don't ask me how it was. No, I usually eat what you give me. Amen. So, that's not too good, right? Anyways, so if somebody tells you it hit the spot, you might go, I wonder if they ate it or not. Anyways, but we enjoy food, we enjoy family, we enjoy, you know, getting presents and giving presents. But let us never forget the reason why we do all of this. That we can never forget the whole reason that we do all of this is because of Jesus. And he is the reason why we celebrate in this season. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. I'm going to read this in the King James, and then I think I may read it in the New Living. But he said, but the Isaiah, the prophet, said here in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me read that from the New Living Translation. It says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isn't that good news? God is with us. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Familiar scripture verse. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Now, we know this just from the scriptures, and anybody that may have a chronological scripture or just from scripture itself, these prophecies were given hundreds of years before the actual events occurred. So we can see here that, isn't it interesting that the Israelites, when we talk about the season that we're in, isn't it interesting that the Israelites failed to recognize the season that they were in? And it didn't profit them. They missed it, didn't they? So it's just interesting that when we talk about seasons and we talk about the season that we're in, that we need to recognize the season that we're in. Yes, this is the season where we recognize or remember his birth, but we're in the season of his return. And let us not make the same mistakes that the Israelites did and fail to recognize the season that we're in. We're in the season of his return. And so these things were put in for what? It says for our examples. And so let's take a lesson from history and not repeat it, you see. So during this Christmas season, I want us to just look and focus on, let us remember some of the things about the Christmas season that will help us in this season. So now, this season can remind us that God is with us. We just got done reading that, and I wanted to just focus on that. That in this season that we talk about, it said here, we just got done reading in the New Living, it said, look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So in this season, we need to remember, as we remember his birth, that God is with us. He's with us. You know, we can get busy with a lot of things, but we need to remember that he's with us. He's with me. He's with you, right? He's with us. So this message, when you think about this, the exciting thing about what we call the Christmas message is that God sent his son to us. He sent his son to us. Other religions, think about this, other religions are trying to get worthy so they can be worthy for their gods. He sent his son to redeem us, to make us worthy. See? So he's with us. See? 2 Corinthians 5:19, that's why I love this scripture. You can go scripture after scripture to confirm. Anybody wants to question why God came, if he came, why he came, there's scripture after scripture to confirm this. But 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, to wit, that God was what? In Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting, you could say, their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, what? The word of reconciliation. So God sent his son to redeem the world. So he was sent, he is present. He's with us. 1 John 4:9 and 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have what? Eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And did what? He sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So he loves us, and he did what? He sent his son to reconcile us. Now just think about this. You know, I know you all know this, but it's good to reflect on it. Jesus was sent to do what? Bridge the gap. He's called in Hebrews what? The mediator between God and man. If it wasn't for him, we could never approach a holy God. And it was due to what? Adam's disobedience. Adam disobeyed God. He was what? He was removed, kicked out of the garden, and there was that separation now between God and man. But what happened? Because God sent his son, he sent him to do what? Reconcile, restore this bridge, this gap that was between man and God, between man and God, because of what? Adam's disobedience. So through Christ, we can do what? We can approach God now. We can approach a holy God and have what? Fellowship with him. Galatians 4:4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let me read that in the New Living Translation. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the right time came, see that in the King James, it says when the fullness of time came, was come. This says, but when the right time came, God sent his son. See, we talk about seasons, when the right time, that's the fullness of time, a season, right? Sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Hallelujah. So it was because of Jesus and his sacrifice, his birth and his sacrifice, that allowed us to approach God. And again, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if we're born again, then we've become what? New creatures in Christ. We've become a brand new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new because of Jesus. Hallelujah. If any man is what? In Christ. So the birth of Christ, as we saw here, to remember, is that it's God with us. I tell you, that may sound so simple, but I'll tell you, when life trials and tribulations come, just that simple thought gives great comfort, that God is with me. He's present to help me. Hallelujah. We're the only, you know, you could say the only religion that we can claim to have fellowship with our God. And not only fellowship with him, we're an heir of God and a joint heir through Christ. So the birth of Christ also brought about, think about this, when Jesus came, he came to do what? Reconcile mankind. So his birth brought about a new way to live. Did it not? Brought away a new way of life. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. A new way of living. A new way of life. So we're, because of Jesus, we're no longer under Satan's rule and dominion. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So his birth brought about a new way that we can live. Hallelujah. That's what we just got done reading in Galatians. That we've been redeemed, that we're under the law. We can approach his throne boldly and talk with him. Hebrews 4:16, a New Living Translation. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what, just to recap, one of the messages or the themes of this Christmas time is that God's presence is with us. He's with us. His presence. He promised in Hebrews 13:5, what does it say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His presence goes with me. If I'm a new creature in Christ, he lives in me. Hallelujah. Something else, let's go over to Luke chapter 1 and this particular account is read during this time of the year and other times, but mostly during this time. But Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 30, here's another great thing to consider when we talk about this season that we're in. What do we say? Number one, it's God is with us. His presence is with us. And the other thing to think about is that in this time of this season, that we can remember, what we can remember is that he's given us his promises. Now, I wanted to look at this. Let's look at verse 30 in chapter 1 in the King James of Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 30, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And verse 38, this is what I want to look at. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, what? According to thy word, and the angel departed from her. So during this season, he gave her a promise, right? So we can talk about this season and saying it's also his promises that have been given to us. But it didn't profit unless she had to do what? She had to receive it. And so this here, God kept his word. If you look at, you don't have to look there, but I'll just read it again. God kept his promise, didn't he? Because Isaiah prophesied this hundreds of years before it actually came to be. And he said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So God kept his promise. But she had to receive it. She said, What? Be it unto me according to thy word. So God kept his word concerning sending his son to the earth, and God fulfilled his promise. So if he kept, think about this, this is why it's so exciting to me. If he kept his word regarding this promise, then he will keep his word concerning all the other promises in the word of God. Because God cannot lie, he is without variableness nor shadow of turning. So if he kept that promise, that's why we can reflect at this time of the year and say it's about his presence, but it's also his promises. Well, we can look at that one promise and say if God honored that and he fulfilled that there, then he will fulfill all his promises. That's exciting to me. Is that not? Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession, or you could say the confession of our faith without wavering, for he's what? He is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. So, and we all know this. What are the promises that have been given to us? There's promise of salvation. We have a promise of healing. We have promise of prosperity and provision. We have a promise of safety. So all these promises, God will honor and fulfill. He watches over his word to perform it. So every promise of God, every promise made by God will surely come to pass if what? It's too hot in here. It is not a difficult question. Every promise of God, see, I woke you up when I said that. Open the windows. No, huh? All right. Every promise of God will be fulfilled only if we believe it. Hallelujah. Mary had to what? She had to say, be it unto me according to thy word, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. Right? So we could say, God, this is one of the things we can see. It's about his presence. It's about his promises. So God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. Hallelujah. So one other thought here at this time is another facet of this during this time of the year is his what? His peace. So when we talk about this time of the year, I mean, there's many other things we could look at, but this time of the year we can look at and say it's about his presence, it's about his promises, and it's about his peace. So let's look at, real quick, let's look at Luke chapter 2. We were in Luke chapter 1, let's go to Luke chapter 2. And let's look at verse 9. And verse 9 of chapter 2, this is in the King James, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That must have been a scene, huh? And they were what? Sore afraid. I guess if you hadn't experienced that, you might be. And what happened? What does the angel say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is what? Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to what? To men, to all mankind, you could say, toward men or all men. So you could see here that his birth ushered in peace to all mankind. It ushered in peace. Think about this. When Adam was in the garden, he had fellowship with God. Intimate fellowship. He had what? Peace. He had shalom when he was in the garden. But when he disobeyed, what happened? He got removed. There was turmoil. There was disruption. Peace was broken. He didn't have peace with God. I mean, when you think about the scripture, think about the Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says in the King James, it says, therefore, being what? Justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I can remember it like yesterday. When I received Christ, there was such a peace that came into me. You know, I've told you this story. I cursed like a sailor. I mean, my words, every other word was a curse word. It may seem that strange, but we all had different life associations and things. Just act crazy. Cursed, drank, did all kinds of goofy stuff. But I remember the day I got saved, peace came in. Such peace in my spirit. And that day I got out, I was working on my sports car. Got under it, I was doing something, and that wrench flew off, and I hit my hand, and nothing came out. I didn't curse. And I literally stopped under the car. I'm under the car, had the car jacked up, and I said, what's going on? But I had peace, because at that time of my life, there was turmoil, and peace came in. Who came in? The Prince of Peace came in and brought peace. Hallelujah. Things can be going on in your life on the outside, but boy, there's peace on the inside. So that, what do we say this season reminds us of? It reminds us of his presence. He's with us. God is with us. And his promises. He promised that he would do what? He would come into this earth, and he did so. He promised that. You know, I think about, just take an aside here, kind of stepping back. But when it comes to the promises of God, don't you dare unhook. Because the scripture in Hebrews 4 says that the word of God didn't profit them not being mixed with faith. You know, I was up Friday night. We were just sharing. We've been going through a book by Mark Hankins on the spirit of faith. And it was so exciting. You know, we have people that come from the neighborhood, they have other churches. And this young lady, we were just sharing some things. And she said, can I share something? I said, sure. It kind of reminded me of what we went through with the sale of the Trump apartments. Same exact thing. When you talk about somebody holding on to a promise, this young lady said, you know, we're moving from this gated community, which is right next to us, Penn Estates. And she said, my husband was selling the house, and we're asking for this much. The realtor told us, you will never get that price. And was adamant about it. You'll never get that price. Because in the gated community that they're in, there's probably, Penn Estates has got over maybe 2,000 homes. She said, the value of your home, you're asking more than what everybody's asking for. It won't get it. So do you want to lower your price? She said, I ain't lowering my price. She said, no. N-O. And she stuck to her guns and wouldn't budge. And the real estate was being, the realtor was being, just persistent. You need to lower your price. You're not going to get it. She said, you watch, my God, I'm going to get this price. So she said, not long after that, the realtor called and said, you're not going to believe this. She said, I believe it. She said, people are looking for your house online. Some guy in Florida's put a bid on it. He's searching online. Some lady down in Union, New Jersey wants your house. So there was a bidding war on her home. See, now if she had let go, right, it wouldn't have profited her. I'm telling you, I got so blessed hearing this. And she said, finally, she said, the woman in New Jersey bought the home for her asking price. And she said, the realtor said to her, if that person, and she paid cash, no mortgage. And this is what the realtor said. If she had gone for a mortgage, the bank wouldn't have given it to her because the bank would have said, well, the house ain't worth that much. So she got what she said she was going to get. And I said, yes, sir. I mean, that just blessed me. Don't you dare give up off the promises of God. If it's something he spoke to you, or if it's in the word of God, it's his promise. And he will fulfill it, but it won't benefit or profit you if you don't mix faith. That's what Mary had to do. Mary had to mix faith. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. So I tell you, and there was another, and then there's this other lady that comes. She's a Spanish lady from the DR. And so she's a great lady. And so she said, can I tell my story? I said, sure. So this was a house story Friday night. She said, now it wasn't her, but her friend. She said, my friend said, I want a home. And I'm not going to pay more than $75,000. And the taxes are not going to be more than $5,000. Okay. So she said, let's drive around and look. So she's driving around with this lady. And they said, she said, that's my house. She said, but there's people living in it. That's my house. I love this. This is great. So she said, that's my house. So she said, a year went by. Guess what? The house went up for sale. The house went up for sale. The house went on the market for $375,000. Taxes, $15,000. She kept claiming that. That's my house, and I'm not paying more than $75,000. And you'd think, that's nuts. Who was going to give their house away? So she kept claiming this. They went in. They, you know, they do an open house. They go in. They look at the house, blah, blah, blah. They went in a couple of times. She said, after a year, the people bidding on the house stopped bidding. Nobody was bidding on the house. And she said, all of a sudden, this woman was a doctor, a professional doctor. She just said, get rid of it, $75,000. I'm not joking. She said, this doctor put the house up for $75,000 because she wanted to get rid of it. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God for those who believe. So then she said, okay, but I'm not paying more than $5,000 in taxes. Guess what the county did? They reassessed the house and they lowered the taxes to $5,000 on the house and gave it, they said, and those taxes will hold for 34 years. And it's in writing. I sat there listening. I said, my God, this is awesome. I mean, you know, I love to hear these testimonies because people have taken the word. And when things, they say, no, I'm going to have this. And I'm going to have it. You may think, well, that's crazy. Somebody said, why would somebody give their house up for $375,000 for 75? Because she puts her words out there. Now, I'm assuming God put that in her heart because, you know, we hear stories of people claiming things. Now, I mean, you can get over in the ditch with that. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So we're not just going around claiming people's houses because you're going to be waiting a long time. But you get my point. Praise God. So Jesus, again here, walked this earth for approximately 33 years. The Prince of Peace came. But he came and he walked this earth as the Son of Man, not the Son of God. Although he was the Son of God, he walked this earth as the Son of Man. And we see that in Philippians. He set aside, some translations say they set aside his divine privileges. But Philippians chapter 2, you can just turn over there. He came to this earth, he set aside his divine privileges. If you look at verses 6 and 7 in chapter 2, I don't have the other translations or New Living. Some of them, you may want to put that up. I'll read it out of the King James. But verses 6 and 7, it says in chapter 2 of Philippians, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He operated as the Son of Man. He set aside, some translations say he set aside his divine privileges. He did not operate as God. He had to be what? Anointed by God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. If he operated as God, he wouldn't have had to be anointed. See. So we can see here that Jesus removed this barrier, this bridge, this gulf that was between God and man. And because of Jesus, there's peace again. There's peace between God and man. Right? So this Christmas season, as we look at this, what do we say again? It's about God is with us, his presence. It's about his promises, his promise to fulfill, and Mary mixing faith with that. It's about his promises and it's about his peace. But think about this here in Philippians 4:6. We've read this recently. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing. In the New Living, it says, don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So at this time of the year, don't let anything get you out of peace. Don't let anything disrupt your peace. You've been given peace. The Prince of Peace lives in you. Let peace reign in your hearts, right? So remember in this season that we're in, and this is why it's so important, you know, when we talk about seasons and we talk about how God's children, now we're his children, but I'm talking about the Israelites, how they didn't recognize the season that they were in, and it had been prophesied. Just think about it. They read Isaiah constantly in the temples, and they missed it. So let us not miss seasons that we're in. You know, again, we said we're in the season of his return, but then also personally, and even in this ministry, there are seasons that you walk into where God is about ready to do something, and if you're not paying attention, if you're not looking, if you're not sensitive, and you're just chasing around, you'll miss it. And so that's why it's so important to reflect on this, that reflect on his promises. Reflect on his presence, reflect on his promises, promises to you, so that when you're in a season where God is about ready to do something that he's promised, that you're sensitive. That's why in Ephesians 5, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord. So you keep your heart stirred so that you are sensitive to his movings. And you recognize, oh, that's God. That's God over there. He wants to do something here. He's fulfilling this. He spoke this to us. This is him moving now. And being aware of that, right? And not missing it or overlooking it. So it's important. Always remember that he kept his promises. They're there for you. And if you believe, right, they'll work for you. But you've got to believe. You've got to receive them and mix faith with it. Always remember, we can live in peace. All of these. We can live in peace, but it's what? Up to you. You've got to receive it. You've got to walk in it. You've got to not let things disrupt your peace. You've got to mix faith with that, right? Glory to God. And so, just as Mary said, we can do the same thing. Be it unto me, Lord, even as you've spoken to me. Be it unto me. Let me be a willing vessel. Let me be receptive. Let me say, be it unto me, Lord. I receive this. I receive your promises. I receive your presence. I receive your peace. Be it unto me. Right? Amen. Praise God. But let's remember that. What is it again? It's about Jesus. But he came. It is God with us. His presence, his promises, and his peace. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here. We're so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful that you've come to this earth. You came to destroy the works of the devil. You came to reconcile mankind. We're so grateful today that we can be named as an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Thank you, Father. And we're so grateful today. Thank you for your promises. And we thank you that they shall come to pass in our life. We thank you that your word is working mightily in us. We receive your words and we receive your peace today. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope you got a little something out of that. Something to think about. Don't let things in this time of the year get so busy that we don't remember who lives in us, who promised us things to us, what was bought and paid for, and that we have peace with God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.